Good morning. It's certainly good to be able to come together to worship God this morning, and it's good to sing together and remember the Lord's death and to take an opportunity to study from His Word. And when I think about this story of David and Goliath in the Old Testament, probably one of the more well-known stories about how the young shepherd boy slayed Goliath. And at the end of this story, you would think that it would be a joyous occasion for everyone. In fact, in our scripture reading in 1 Samuel 18, 6 through 9, many are rejoicing. Many are glad that this man who had antagonized not only the Israelite army, but God Himself, this uncircumcised Philistine has fallen. And you would think that it would be a day of joy and rejoicing, but not for everyone. We find that Saul is angered. Saul is not feeling well, and it's because there is envy inside of him. This morning, I want us to look at the subject of eaten up with envy. And I want us to look at our own hearts and lives this morning and see if from time to time we may have that work of the flesh called envy and what the Bible says about that. In 1 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 9, we're told that Saul eyed David from that day forward. We're going to talk about that word in just a moment. But a noun is made a verb. He eyed him. And we have a few instances of that in our language where we take a noun and make a verb out of it. And so David is being looked at in a certain way. He's being looked at with the eye of envy. We need to understand, brethren and friends, that envy, when it's allowed to germinate and develop and grow, it leads to attitudes that cause us to do bad things. Notice, for example, the proverb in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 30. We need to understand that envy is not just something that we have and it's sort of a passing attitude and we have it and then we just let it go. It eats us up. It dwells in us. It fills us. And it causes problems. In Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 30, a tranquil heart is the life of the flesh, but envy is the rottenness of the bones. Notice that statement, the rottenness of the bones. It eats us up. It causes problems. It leads to something beyond the envy itself, into more problems that we cause for ourselves and others around us. It's not something to be toyed with or trifled with. In Proverbs chapter 27 in verse 4, and by the way, on these passages that we're looking at in today's lesson, sometimes Bible versions use the word envy, sometimes they'll use the word jealousy. We're basically talking about the same thing. Envy and jealousy both deal with the same problem, and that is that we're looking at the success of someone else, and it's bothering us. In Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 4, wrath is cruel and anger is overwhelming. But who is able to stand before envy, the King James says? Or who is able to stand before jealousy? The point is simply this, that when it's in us, we can't stand before it. It's going to cause us to fall. It's going to cause us problems, and it's going to lead to further wrongdoing. We're going to fall under its wicked way. And so we need to understand the problem of envy. When it says here that David was eyed by Saul, what we're going to see is a life of a man who is eaten up with this, and he just won't let it go. And so we need to understand that it can be a rottenness to the bones, and it can cause us to fall and fail. I think of the matter of envy. I think of Genesis chapter 37 and verse 11. Do you remember the brothers of Joseph? It said that they were envious of him, partly because he was given a special coat by his father. And then if you read just a few verses before that in Genesis chapter 37, the text says that Joseph had some dreams. And these dreams were that he would rule over his brethren. And they didn't like that. And in Genesis 37 and verse 11, it said that they envied him. They didn't like the fact that he had a special place in his father's eye and that he had gotten these dreams from God. And that was tearing them up. That was eating them up. And then the rest of the chapter says that they threw him in a pit and sold him into slavery. We need to understand that when we have envy towards someone, that it can lead to further problems. They threw him in a pit. They sold him into slavery. It didn't stop with the eye of envy. It ate them up. What's interesting about that story is, Stephen recalls this in Acts chapter 7 and verse 9, and it said that Joseph's brothers were moved with envy. Some versions say moved with jealousy. That's what caused this. That's what led to being sold into the slavery. And so we need to understand the problem with it. It's not just some little thing that's no big deal. Or we have it in our life and we think, oh, that's not a big deal. It causes problems, brother. What's interesting about that story is look at Genesis chapter 42, verses 21 and 22. When Reuben is looking back on this matter, they've gone down into Egypt to visit. Joseph is now the ruler there, and they go to visit him, and Reuben is looking back on this story. Do you remember what he said in Genesis 42, verses 21 and 22? Reuben said, "Did not I say to you," he's talking to his brothers, "did not I say to you, sin not against the child?" In other words, don't do this. Don't put him down in the pit. Don't throw him into slavery. "Did not I say to you, do not sin against the child?" And then the next verse says, "But you would not hear it." They would not hear it. In other words, they were so moved with this envy that they're not going to listen to the sound reason of their own brother. We need to understand that it will eat us up. The proverb is right. It's rottenness to the bones. I think of envy, and I think of, look at Matthew chapter 27 and verse 18. Why was Jesus put on the cross? We say, well, envy doesn't really do much. It doesn't really lead to much. It's not a big deal. Well, the Scripture says that they were moved with envy and they delivered up Jesus. In part, Jesus was put on the cross because of the envy of the Jewish religious leaders, both in Matthew 27:18 and Mark 15 and verse 10. These Jewish leaders didn't like Jesus' popularity. They didn't like that he had a following. They didn't like that he was teaching. They didn't like that people were going out after him. They didn't like that he was healing folks. They didn't like that he was helping folks. They didn't like that. And it said that they were moved with that envy and they delivered him up. You see, it leads to problems. And so this morning, I want us to look at particular of this story in 1 Samuel 18. You think about the great defeat of Goliath, and you think how that everyone would be happy about that. Not Saul. Not Saul. And so I'm going to look at that. Turn back now to 1 Samuel chapter 18. And let's first of all notice this Hebrew word, avon, that is used here. In 1 Samuel chapter 18, in verse 8, we're told that Saul was angry, or Saul was wroth. He was mad that they were singing this song. David had slain his ten thousand. Saul has slain his thousands, but David his 10,000s. He didn't like hearing that. It's interesting that song shows up twice later in the book. Apparently, this wasn't just something that was just sung on one occasion. It was a song that had become popular. It's repeated twice later in the book by other individuals. It had gotten out. It had been sung other places, and people had heard it. And so, it's something that was eating Saul up. He just didn't like the fact that David was successful. That's really what it boils down to. He didn't like that this young shepherd boy was having a moment of success and he had done something that was good. He didn't like that. And it said that he eyed David. This Hebrew word, avon, means, according to Strong's Concordance, to watch with jealousy. Kornberger's Hebrew English Concordance says, to keep an eye on, to look at with suspicion or jealousy. Brown, Driver, and Briggs, Hebrew lexicon, says, to eye enviously. And then Davidson's lexicon, to eye with view of envy. I've entitled my lesson, Eaten Up with Envy, because of this word. We're talking about an envious, jealous look here. And this is the beginning of a life of a downfall with Saul. We've got to take it very seriously. And so, what do we find here with regard to this story? You think about in our society today. this matter of envy. We hear all the time about some boyfriend who goes over to the ex-girlfriend's house and shoots the man that's in there because he's all upset that his ex-girlfriend now has a new boyfriend. What is that? That's envy and jealousy. It happens all the time with regard to money. It happens all the time with regard to relationships. It happens at work. It happens in the home. It happens all over the place. And we find that people are destroying themselves and the lives around them with this envious eye. It's what Paul calls a work of the flesh that we'll look at later. We've got to take it very seriously. And so to eye with the view of envy, or to eye enviously, let's look at that matter this morning. There are some translations that use some word other than the word I. Our versions say that Saul eyed David. Well, there's some other versions that will use some other words to help us see that it's the eye of envy or the eye of jealousy. Saul watched David jealously. Saul watched David closely. From then on, he was jealous of him. From that day on, Saul kept a jealous eye on David, a particular Hebrew translation that I have. And from that time on, Saul kept a jealous eye on David. Saul turned a jealous eye on David from that day forward. We're talking about something that is going to eat him up. Let's look now at the story of Saul and David with regard to this one particular point. And with regard to this matter of being eaten up with envy. And I'm going to view it as a seed of envy that grows. We're going to start with the seed itself. Let's look at the seed of envy. It starts with the success of another. That's where envy starts. That's what the word means. It literally means, and we're going to see a Greek translation in just a moment as when we get over into the New Testament. But we're talking about when we see the success of another. When we see that someone else has prospered or gained in some way. And I don't mean necessarily monetarily. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about maybe in something that's going on in their life. They've had something nice go on in their life. And I just don't like that. I just don't like that. That's where it starts. But you know what? The problem is it doesn't end there. The proverb writer says it's a rottenness to the bones. It begins to rot. It begins to eat ourselves up. But what we find here in chapter 18, 6 through 9, is that David has had some success. He has killed Goliath. And there are many who are joyous about that. And so there's a celebration, and they're singing about him. Well, Saul sees that and doesn't like that. So the ex-boyfriend doesn't like that the girlfriend has a new boyfriend now, so he's gonna show her a thing or two. And I don't like this, and I don't like that. And we see how that something is happening in someone else that's good for them. And we eye that, and we get upset about that. And we begin to do things that hurt ourselves and others. It starts with looking at the success of another, but then it begins to grow. Let's look at the fruit of envy. He doesn't just stay right there. Don't think that it's harmless. Don't think that it's something just to be trifled with. It begins to grow, and what we see then is a life of growth. Let's look at a few examples. Where does it grow from? This eye of envy. What happens next? Well, look at 1 Samuel 18, verse 10. And it came to pass on the morning that an evil spirit from God came mightily upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house. And David played with his hand, and as he did day by day, and Saul had his spear in his hand. And Saul cast the spear, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall. But wait a minute, where have we gone from eyeing David to throwing a spear at him? It grows. And it's to be taken very seriously. And as we're going to see in just a moment, we may not throw a spear at somebody, but we begin to say and do things that begin to show the fruit of envy that may be in our life. So we have here that David throws a spear. He wants to kill him. Verse 12, and Saul was afraid of David. Look at that. Add that to the list. Now we're afraid of the other person's success. We're fearful. We begin to surmise. We begin to think about things that aren't true. David was not a problem for Saul. David was not going to hurt Saul, but we begin to think things and surmise things that, well, maybe this is what they're going to do, and maybe this is why they're doing that, and we begin to think things that aren't true. So we have throwing a spear, we have fear. Come on down to verse 15. And when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he stood in awe of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David, for he went out and came in before him. Saul didn't love him. He should have, but he didn't. Look at chapter 18 and verse 25. And Saul said, "Thus shall you say to David, the king desireth not any dowry, but 100 foreskins of the Philistines to be avenged of his enemies." Look at this. Now Saul thought to make David fall by the hand of the Philistine. If I can't kill him with a spear, then maybe I can put him in a situation where he'll be killed by the Philistines. So if you want to marry my daughter, no, I don't want a dowry. I just want the foreskins of the Philistines. That's to put you out in a battle to kill you. Much like what David did with Uriah. Remember, putting him on the front line so that Uriah would be killed. Why is David doing that? It started with the eye of envy, and it's growing, and it's getting out of control. Look at chapter 19, verses 10 and 11. And Saul sought to smite David, even to the wall with the spear, but he slipped away out of Saul's presence, and he smote the spear into the wall, and David fled and escaped that night. And Saul sent messengers unto David's house to watch him and to slay him in the morning. Of course, Michael saves his life there. Assassination attempts, anger, fear, trying to put him in harm's way to get rid of him. So it starts with the success of another, but it produces evil actions against that other person. And so the seed begins to grow and produce the fruit. But you know what? It gets worse. And you think, well, maybe it's just directed at the person that has had some success. No, it gets worse. And we begin to eat ourselves up, and we begin to hurt those around us that may not be the person that we originally started looking at. Now we find that we're hurting those who were close to us and those who would want to associate. And this is what I'm going to call the pit of envy. The pit. Think about the pit of a peach. Think about the pit, the center, the core. This is where we're really getting down to a terrible problem. And that is, I'm willing to kill my own son, Jonathan. So let's look at it now. Look at chapter 20, verse 30 and 31. Jonathan loves David and makes a covenant with him that he's going to support him and be with him. And when his father finds out about that, look at 1 Samuel chapter 20 and verse 20. 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 30. Then Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan, and he said unto him, "Thou son of a perverse, rebellious woman, do not I know that you have chosen the son of Jesse, David, thine own shame and under the shame of thy mother's nakedness? For as long as the son of Jesse liveth upon the ground, thou shalt not be established nor thy kingdom. Wherefore now, send and fetch him unto me, for he shall surely die." And Jonathan answered Saul his father and said unto him, "Wherefore should he be put to death? What has he done?" And Saul cast his spear at him to smite him, whereby Jonathan knew that it was determined of his father to put David to death. Now he's throwing his spear at his own son, because his son has made an agreement with someone that I'm envious toward. I don't like David, and if you like him, now I don't like you. You see how this gets worse? Look at the matter in 1 Samuel chapter 22 of the priest who had helped David on an occasion with his hunger. Turn with me to 1 Samuel 22. If you read verses 11 down through the end of the chapter, Saul is now going to slay the priests who helped out David. Verse 18, "And the king said to Doeg, Turn thou and fall upon thy priest. And Doeg the Edomite turned, and he fell upon the priest, and he slew on that day 85 persons. And Nob, the city of the priest, smote he the edge of the sword, both men and women, children and sucklings and oxen, and asses and sheep with the edge of the sword." Why did he do that? Because they had helped out David. Verse 17, "Turn and slay the priest, because their hand also is with David." Envy is a rottenness to the bones. And now I am hurting those who are close to me, my own child, Jonathan, and anyone who would associate with this person that I'm envious toward, I'm going to hurt them. It just gets worse and worse. And then it culminates in what I'm going to call the rot of envy, where we end up just destroying our life. It ends with the loss of everything that is near and dear and important. Look at three things in particular. Turn with me to chapter 18 and verse 29. The first thing that David lost was a close, that Saul lost, excuse me, was a close friend. In 1 Samuel 18 and verse 29, "And Saul was yet the more afraid of David, and Saul was David's enemy continually." I'm going to be your enemy. And what a shame. David could have been a great asset to him. David could have been a great leader for him. David could have been a close confidant and someone to gain wisdom from. But no, you're going to be my enemy now. You're on my bad side, you see. So I lose that which is important, close friends. Number two, I lose my God. In chapter 28 and verse 29, when we get down toward the end of the story, Saul had digressed so much that God is no longer with him. And we find in the matter of where Saul had gone to the witch there, and Samuel is conjured up in 1 Samuel chapter 28 and verse 29. 1 Samuel chapter 28. Where Saul begins to speak, I'm sorry, verse 19. That should be verse 19, not verse 29. "Moreover, Jehovah will deliver Israel also with thee into the hand of the Philistines, and tomorrow thou shalt slay thy sons with me. Jehovah will deliver the host of Israel also into thy hand." Look at verse 18. "Because thou obeyest not the voice of Jehovah, and did not execute his fierce wrath upon Amalek, therefore hath Jehovah done this thing unto thee this day." Look at verse 16. "Wherefore then thou dost ask me, seeing Jehovah is departed from thee and is become thine adversary." Look at verse 16. Jehovah is departed from thee. And then last of all, he lost his own life. Chapter 31 and verse 4. Envy ate him up. And what started with an eye of envy, and I don't like the fact that young David is being praised for his success over Goliath, it began to produce evil actions. "I'm going to throw a spear at him and try to kill him. If I can't do it that way, I'm going to send messengers to try to kill him. I'm going to try to send him out into the battle with the Philistines. Maybe that'll do it. And then when I find those close to me, my own son Jonathan, and these priests who are aiding and abetting David, I'm going to kill them." And I end up losing everything that is near and dear to me. We need to think about this story and the awful nature of this matter. We see it all over in society. And now I want to turn our attention to the New Testament. Sometimes it can happen in the church, and we know that because the Apostle Paul mentions it. Let's turn our attention now to the New Testament. Let's turn away from this Old Testament story, hopefully learning from those things that are written aforetime. And let's turn our attention now to Christians in the New Testament church and our lives today and what we need to be thinking about. The Apostle Paul uses the word envy several times in the New Testament. It's from the Greek word phanos, and it means literally a feeling of displeasure produced by witnessing or hearing about the advantage or prosperity of others. When somebody else in the church has some prosperity or some advantage, and I hear about that or I see that, I don't like that, you see. And so, it's not just something that's going on in the life of Saul, it's something that can go on in our lives if we're not careful as well. So, someone is allowed a preaching role and I'm not. Maybe I'm a woman and I'm not allowed that role. And week after week, I see somebody get up, and I can do that. I can get up and speak. I can get up and deliver those kinds of lessons. Why does he get to do that all the time? Why do the men get to do that? And so I begin to see the success or the advantage or something good in the lives of this person. But I can't have that, you see. And so I'm going to begin to say and do things to tear that person down. What about someone who's allowed in an eldership role and I'm not? Here I am, a man, and I'm not qualified. Maybe I'm single. and I'm not married. That's one of the qualifications. Or maybe I am married, and I'm just not qualified in some other way. But so-and-so, he gets to be an elder, and I don't. And so I'm not going to follow them, or I'm not going to support them, or I'm going to tear them down behind their back. I'm going to say bad things about them. You see, I can't be in that position, and so I'm going to cause a problem. I've been in situations before when we talk with the men and we talk with the local congregations about the qualifications of elders and having elders. You know, not every man wants that. Not every man wants that. You know why? Because I'm going to lose my power. I'm going to lose my say-so in a men's business meeting. He's going to have something now that I don't have. That's just sheer envy and jealousy, in addition to some other things that may be going on there. I don't want them to have that. And if I can't have it, I'm going to do what I can to keep them from having it, you see. Someone is mentioned by name in prayers, and I'm not. Somebody is given some special attention, and I'm not. Someone in the congregation is close with certain members, and I don't have that same closeness. I'm not invited to do the same things. I'm not allowed into what they're doing, you see. And so I'm going to say something bad or do something bad about that. I'm not given special attention, maybe like some in the church are. Maybe there's some who are needy, or the widows, or special needs members, or something like that, and they're getting that kind of attention, and I'm not, you see. I'm envious of that, and so I'm going to begin to say and do things to tear that down. Someone has a talent, like a song leader or something else, and I don't have that, and I can't do that, and so I'm going to begin to be envious of that. These are just some things that I thought of. You can think of some other things. It's not meant to be an exhaustive list. These are things that I've witnessed in other situations and in other congregations. They're things that actually exist, and so we need to be mindful of it. But whatever it is, whatever the envy is in our life, we need to understand that it will eat us up. It will hurt us and those around us in the local congregation. Look at what it did to Saul. Can you imagine ending your life without your God, without a close friend, without your life, and it's because it started off with I'm someone, and I'm angry, and I'm envious, and I'm upset. Can you imagine going through life like that? And I'm even going to throw a spear at my own son, you see? And so we need to understand the potential that the devil uses with regard to this ugly attitude. Notice some things in the Word of God. Why am I envious? Come back with me to 1 Samuel chapter 18. Notice the attitude that goes along with envy. Let's say there was some envy in us over something. We need to ask ourselves, why am I like that? What causes that? What drives that? These are some good questions that I would like for us to think about. There are four I'd like for us to think about. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 8. What can he have more but the kingdom? Have you ever thought about that? It wasn't that just Saul didn't like these people out singing. I don't like them singing. You know, I don't like that song. It wasn't just that. It was, okay, if he is getting this, then what else is he going to get? What's he going to take away from me? What's he going to get that I'm not going to have? And so we begin to have some things dealing with comparison. We begin to have some things dealing with inadequacy, and someone's going to get more than what maybe I'm not, what David is. And we begin to think those kinds of ways. That's a very important question. What more can he have but the kingdom? That helps us to isolate the problem with envy. And so let's look at a few questions. Number one, do I have feelings of inadequacy? Is that really what's going on here? That I feel that this person has more than what I have, and I'm inadequate in such and such area, and so because of that, I'm going to begin to have an envious eye. Notice, the way we get over that is, notice Romans 12:3, 1 Corinthians 12:11, each of us are placed in the kingdom. We each have a talent, brethren. We each have a role. Don't be thinking inadequacy. Be thinking, whatever God gives me, I'm content with that. I'm happy with that. And I'm not going to be looking at Shannon or Larry or somebody else thinking, well, I'm inadequate. They have their roles and talents. I have my roles and talents. And it's not a comparison. It's not a contest. It's not a comparison. It's not a contest. It's not who can outbest someone. It's not who can have something over somebody else. That's what Saul was thinking. Well, what more can he have but the kingdom? David's beaten me. It's not a contest. There never was a contest there. But that's how you begin to frame it when you're looking at someone with the eye. You're framing it in the sense of, well, he's beaten me right now, so I've got to do something. It's not that. We are all placed in the body. 1 Corinthians 12:11. We're placed in the body. We have different talents, different roles, different responsibilities. And look at 1 Corinthians 11:13. Love envieth not. Now look at this. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 13. Look at it in the context of what is being said here. What was happening in Corinth in part was there were certain members who were able to speak in tongues, and there were certain members who were not able to do that. And what happened was it drove a wedge and a division in the church, that some thought that they had something that somebody else didn't have. And Paul has to come along and say, no, we're all in this. We all have different roles, different talents, different gifts, but we're all in the same body and we need to be working together. It's not a matter of someone is better and then someone is inadequate, or some part of the body is more important and some part is less important. We need to exercise love, which is service, and we don't need to have this matter of envy. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Why does he mention that? Because it's in the context. Look at chapter 12, verses 9, 10, and 11. There were different gifts there. All of them are important. And we don't need to have this envious, well, he can speak in tongues and I can't. And so I'm going to start causing a problem with that. Look at verse 8, 1 Corinthians 12:8. One of the gifts was the word of wisdom. So you could stand up in the church, and through the Holy Spirit, you could give a word of wisdom. Stop and think about that. Look at the next verse. Someone had the gift of healing. Okay, so when you get up in the church, I'm going to give you a word of wisdom. Okay, you get done. Well, that was boring. I want to see some healing. I want to see some tongue speaking. And so the guy gets up and he heals somebody. Oh, all I get to do is just give a word of wisdom. I don't get to heal anybody. I don't get to speak in tongues. So there were different gifts. And you could see how that would get envious, where you could get envious of somebody. And he mentions that in chapter 13 and 4. Love envieth not. You can see the problem with that. Well, all I get to do is just stand up and give a word of wisdom. I don't get to heal anybody. That's a popular thing. That's a prestigious thing. It has things that have attention that go with it. Look at verse 8. Someone was given the gift of the word of knowledge. Oh, that was boring. He gave us some knowledge this morning. Where's the guy that can heal? He's the important. Where's the guy that can speak in tongues? But he gets up, and at home he speaks Greek. But he gets to speak in all kinds of different languages. I want to see that one. David had slain his 10,000. You see the point? And so I begin to have envy, and I begin to have these other things. And part of it's, well, maybe I'm just not as adequate as that other person is. And so how does Paul solve that? In chapter 12, look at verse 18. Everybody is put in by God as it pleases Him, and we all need to be working together. Put away this idea of inadequacy. It's not about, and it's not a competition. It's not who can get better than somebody else. We're all working together in the local church. Number two, am I constantly comparing myself with others? That really was Saul's problem. Well, if I compare myself with David, he's getting all the praise and I'm not. Look at 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 12. We need to stop doing that. In the local congregation, all of us are important, and we need to make sure that we're right in God's eyes. We don't need to be comparing ourselves with others. That's not the standard. If we start doing that, then yes, we'll start looking at what's going on in their life, and we might see something where they have something good going on, and then we begin to get envious of that. We're not even supposed to be doing that to start with. We're supposed to be making sure that we're right with God, and that's all. For we are not bold to number or compare ourselves with certain of them that commend themselves. But they themselves, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves with themselves, are without understanding. We begin to get into this mode of, well, if I'm comparing myself to the other family in the church and they got this and I don't got that, then here we go. We don't need to do that. Number three, am I not ever content with what God has given me, or I'm never content. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Saul should have been content with what the Lord had given him in his kingship. But if we're not content, then we're constantly looking across the fence at what the other person has. I need to be content. And Paul said, whether I'm abased, lowly, things taken away from me in life, or I'm abounding, things are prospering in life, I've learned that in everything to be content in Jesus Christ. But if I'm not content, then I'm always looking at the other person, the other family, and what God has given them, you see, and I begin to have feelings of envy. And then last of all, am I always unwilling to rejoice with those who rejoice? Turn with me to Romans chapter 12 and verse 13. You know, what should Saul have done when they were singing about David? What should Saul have done? He should have joined in the song. Join in with everybody else. No, I don't want to do that. No, we need to rejoice with those who rejoice. Let's say someone has a talent, has a role in the local church. We need to be rejoicing with that. Let's say someone does have some success or something good that has happened. We need to go up to them and say, great, that's great that this has happened to you. We need to rejoice with those who rejoice. Romans 12, 15, 1 Corinthians 12, 26. If we're always feeling inadequate, if we're always comparing, if it's always a contest, if we're never content, if we're unwilling to rejoice, then we're going to find that seed of envy in our lives, and it begins to produce the fruit, and then the pit, and then the ultimate rot. It is rottenness to the bones. Well, as we come to the close of our lesson, we need to understand that envy leads to other wrongdoing. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 29, envy is listed there. Look at the other things that it keeps company with. Backbiting and other things that are said. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 15. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 4. Titus 3 and verse 3. These are different passages. I'd like to look at Titus 3 and verse 3. We've got to uproot the seed and the weed of envy because of what goes along with it. Look at Titus chapter 3 and verse 3. Who would have thought Saul would have one day been throwing a spear at his own son? You see? If we don't uproot that, it will take hold. Look at Titus 3 and verse 3. For we also once were foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. Do you see how it keeps company? I begin to hate, and the scripture says in 1 Samuel that he was angered or wroth. And then I begin to say things that are wrong. Now, we're not going to throw a spear at a church member. We're just not going to do that. But will we say and do things to take away from the success of others? It leads to other wrongdoing. It's a work of the flesh that is to be put away. Turn with me to Galatians. Apparently, there was some of this in the church at Galatians. So we understand that when we turn to the New Testament, that phanos, where we are envious at the success of another, it can be in the church. And Paul says in verse 19 that it is a work of the flesh. And then look at verse 26. Let us not become vainglorious, provoking one another, envying one another. I don't know what it was at Galatia. I don't know what it was. But something in the church, something that some of the members had, was causing others to be envious. And so he says we've got to put that away. And the reason we need to put it away is it'll eat us up if we don't. What a great lesson from Saul and David. Not a great attitude, but a great lesson to learn from him, that it will eat us up. That evil eye, we talk about green with envy, that evil eye of envy, it's the looking enviously that begins to set in. And you know what? It's not just confined to spiritual things. It's other things in our life. Listen to the way we talk. Are we really kind of negative or upset about the success of someone else? That type of thing can grow in those non-spiritual areas of our life, and then it can get into the spiritual areas of our life. We just simply want, Romans 15:4, we want to learn from those things that were written aforetime. Not go down that same path that Saul did. What a shame. To lose a close friend and confidant. To lose your own God. Jehovah has departed from you. And to take your own life. Just what a miserable life to lead. beginning with he eyed him in that eye of envy. It just eats people up. And we see it on the news today, how it tears people up, destroys people. People die over it. People are killed over it. It's a very serious thing. And how the Apostle Paul says that being a work of the flesh, that we should put that away and not envy one another. I hope that that has helped us to explore that thing that often the devil can use in our lives to tear us up. If you're subject to the invitation this morning, there's an opportunity to come. And God is looking upon you with the eye of love and the eye of sacrifice and the eye of salvation. And He wants you to be saved this morning. We want to encourage you to make your life right. We are appreciative of our visitors and those who are here. And if you need to make some change in your life, and if you can see where maybe envy has gotten a foothold in some area, let's eradicate that. Let's put that away. Any work of the flesh is going to keep us out of heaven. Remember what Paul said in Galatians 5:21 about these works of the flesh? That those who practice such things will not be in the kingdom of heaven, will have no part in that kingdom of heaven. So if we need to remove some of that of our life, let's do that before it's everlasting too late. If you're subject in any way, if we can help you in any way, why don't you come if we stand and sing?